Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a piece of news you probably didn't have. A letter sent to a Kenyan citizen from Atlanta. You remember that one? Remember the letter that was sent to Kenya from Atlanta that they said originally tested positive for anthrax? Well, it was turned out it was negative. They tested it, and apparently the letter was late and damp. And I don't want to comment on the very fine postal service of Kenya, but maybe a lot of mail arrives there late and damp. It's Kenya, and it's, well, it's, I don't mean to say anything other than, look, when I was trying to mail a postcard from the Bahamas, and the guy said to me, you might as well just hand carry it. I said, why? Because it'll take about 4 weeks to get to the States. I said, you're putting me on. He said, well, no, maybe, but it's up to you. Seriously, when we went out and took the kids down to the Bahamas, and I got a postcard, I'm going to send it off to I don't know who. It was some joke card. And I was going to drop it into the mail slot there, and the guy said, is that going to America? I said, yeah, well, walk it there. You could walk it there. You could swim it there, then get on Florida and walk it, and it would get there faster than the Bahamian authorities, the postal authorities, would be able to deliver it. I said, well, you know, I got to. So I put it in the mail, and I'm still waiting for it. Anyway, I mailed it to myself. You're right. So this letter that went to Kenya from Atlanta, which everybody was talking about among the many letters that are flying around supposedly testing positive for anthrax, it tested negative. They originally tested it, and it contained mildew or fungus, and so that can give a skewed reading. So when something says it tests originally for anthrax, what they're saying, and this is just what I think, but check this out. What they're saying is, well, so far it's tested perhaps positive for anthrax. What that means, it was just some, like, mildew in there. So in other words, if I went in my bathroom right now, it would test preliminarily positive for anthrax, and then they find out it's just that I haven't cleaned the tub for 4 months. So that was a load of baloney, and it is believed that the tests were conducted on a mildew or fungus, according to a joint news release from the FBI and the U.S. Department of Justice, explaining the recipient told authorities the letter arrived late and was damp. My underwear would test preliminary positive for anthrax. If you want to get right down to it, go ahead. Run, I dare you to run your underwear through any preliminary test for anthrax. It would come up with freaking black death. You know that. I know that. Your wife knows that. So quit fooling around, Charlie. Honey, would you mind running my underwear through the anthrax tester? But the other news that we got, and perhaps you got it, maybe you didn't, is that first of all, let me just say this. The White House, there ain't no anthrax in the White House. They found a letter, they found some spores in a off-site facility that handles White House mail. They found some anthrax, they say preliminary, they found some anthrax spores. Although, I suppose, would it be irresponsible of me to say, is that a definite yes, they did find it there? Let me read this. Because I don't want to go off saying stuff that I shouldn't be saying. A machine at a remote mail site that handles mail for the White House tested positive for anthrax, according to Ari Fleischer, who's the press secretary. Okay, so there you go. He said environmental sampling found no anthrax at the White House. So whoever it is that we're doing battle with, whether this is all Al-Qaeda, whether this is a domestic group taking advantage of the Al-Qaeda thing, these are some real scumbags. There's just no getting around it. These are some serious, serious scumbags who will deserve the full hammer once it's applied. Now, they've killed how many two postal workers dead. There's a couple more that are seriously ill. And if you want the facts, by the way, because the way it's being reported, every time there's an exposure or somebody tests positive for exposure, people automatically assume that they've got it, and that means they'll be getting sick any minute now. Here is what the total number of anthrax cases, and by case we mean either exposure, infection, or the very tragic occurrence of death. 12 infections, that's 6 cutaneous and 6 inhaled, 32 exposures, 3 deaths, 2 D.C. postal workers and that man in Florida, the AMI employee. Now, the 32 exposures, does that include? No, it doesn't. And by the way, that 32 exposures, we got it already, CNN, okay? They're on day 5.
32 exposures at the White House, in case you forgot.
Oh, really? How many exposures?
32.
Good for you, Charlie. All right, you can go get coffee now. All right, I just want you to know there's been 32 exposures.
We know, at the White House.
They keep rolling that one. 32 exposures at the White House. And, of course, by the time you turn the news on at night, you got the news at 11, you flip the news on at night, and,
White House has anthrax.
We got it, Ari. It's like 7 hours old. But there's no doubt about it. Whoever we're dealing with is some serious scumbags. And at some point, and I say this with great clarity and as sober mindset as I can possibly say it, at some point we have to go to the United Nations and say, you know, they're screwing here with us in a very serious way. And if we find out, if, this is a big if, I realize that nothing has yet been determined, but if we find out that Iraq or any of these countries were the source of this, then we got to put the Security Council of the United Nations on notice. This is going to turn real ugly, real fast for some people. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, three guesses. The first two don't count. Well, I don't understand. You don't understand? What do you say we go out for dinner and have some mushrooms with our salad? What do you mean mushroom? Nothing. Nothing at all. Boy, it sure is cloudy out today. Those mushrooms and the clouds. And I just think that they're serious scumbags. But here's the other thing that you need to understand. The textbook definition of panic. This is really not the textbook definition of panic. This is the Phil Hendry definition of panic. And this should be put into the textbook definition of panic. This is it. When you begin pointing your finger at other people when you should be pointing your finger at the culprit, that's when you begin to panic. When you begin blaming each other, pointing fingers at each other, and you're not pointing your finger at who is doing the job. And a little bit of that, not a lot, but a little tiny bit of that reared its head today with people saying, the government should have done something. These men should have been tested. You know, it's the Postal Service blew it, and the government blew it, and once again the government... Okay, all right, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. Are you really going to go to bat under the notion the government purposely did this and they are so incompetent, these men are dead as the direct result of government incompetence? Now you're really going off half-cocked. Like, everybody got nailed pretty good by this. Everybody's been knocked off balance by this. And so give some people an opportunity to sort of find their footing a little bit, okay? Nobody is trying to kill postal workers other than the dirtbags that are sending this through the mail. There's mistakes being made, perhaps. There is some, perhaps, processes that are being overlooked, perhaps. And we'll get it together, and we'll pull it down tight, and we'll, so far, I just read it to you, there have been three very tragic deaths, but nonetheless three. We've had 12 infections, tragic and tough, and I know that a couple of them are very sick, but still, just 12 infections, and we've had 32 exposures. Thank you, CNN, for that. It's day six with the 32 exposures. But when you start pointing fingers at each other, that's when you're beginning to lose control a little bit. So let's suck it back up, pull it back together, butch up, be men and women about this thing. And don't forget, Phil Hendry's flying to New York this weekend for our week's worth of broadcasts at the Museum of Television and Radio in the great city of New York, brought to you by our friends at Priceline.com. How about that? Here is Kenny on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
Quick question. You've been mentioning that it's possible there might be a right-wing conspiracy involved with the anthrax.
That's not a quick question, man. I'm timing you.
Okay, mediocre question.
I know. Go ahead.
Okay.
I said what?
In some of these conspiracy things, like when people say the Israelis did the World Trade Center to get sympathy, there's some little root of possibility, even as stupid as it may, there might be. What's in it for the militia to make it look like the Islamics did it?
So that they take the heat off of themselves, I suppose.
What heat's on them?
The FBI.
Right now?
Oh, yeah. And has been. Hate to break the news.
How many people do you think they got dedicated to looking for some...
The FBI, I don't want to kind of shock you, Kenny, but let me just bring you up to date.
Well,
the FBI, the FBI has been turned into a full-time anti-terrorism unit. Now, as you know, before this, part of what they did was devoted to... terrorist activity or the threat of terrorist activity, and part of that was domestic terrorism.
Domestic, yep.
So the FBI has been investigating that since they began investigating the Klan back at the turn of the century.
So if I hear
are you asking me a load of questions here so that I'll trip up on one of them?
No,
or
no,
are
I
you
honestly
trying to get information?
No, straight from the gut, my friend. So you're saying they're just taking a few shots in at the country?
I don't know. I'm saying that there is right now. A difficult. They're having a difficult time tying this to Al Qaeda or to a foreign source. there is a possibility that it is a domestic group, because domestic groups have been known to threaten this kind of thing. They've been known to fool around with this kind of thing, try to get a hold of it.
I get you.
They've been in their little chat rooms and on their little websites talking about biological threats.
I'm with you 1,000%, but wouldn't they claim it?
Wouldn't they claim
What's the point of doing it if they don't
claim
it? They can't say they did it.
They said, well, because if it's an opportunistic attack, i.e., hey, this is a great time to do it because they just hit the World Trade Center.
Okay.
No, they wouldn't claim it. They try to lay it off on Al-Qaeda. The letter, by the way, that went to Brokaw, and this is unsubstantiated, but the rumor is the letter was some lame-ass thing like, America, beware, love Allah, or
some crap like that.
That sounds like some homegrown, dumbass American trying to make it sound like there is a, you know, that there's an Al-Qaeda link.
Well, I must be a dumbass American, too, because I just don't get why it would help them as a militia dude.
You're aware of the fact that at least one domestic terrorist blew up a federal building.
He was proud of it, Phil.
He wasn't proud of it. He got caught.
Well, once he got caught, he said, yeah, I did it.
He wrote a book about it. So, in other words, if he hadn't gotten caught, he was still going to write a letter and say, hi, I'm Timothy McVeigh.
He wasn't blaming it on an Islamic.
Wait a second. I'm telling you, the man was arrested by the police and interrogated. If the man had not been caught, you're telling me that he still would have said, hi, I'm Tim McVeigh, and I did this.
But he didn't write a letter.
If Timothy McVeigh hadn't been caught, would he have announced that he had done it?
Phil, he didn't write a letter saying an Islamic.
Apparently, you're not hearing me. Timothy McVeigh was arrested. He had no choice. He was interrogated and sweated down by the FBI.
I agree.
Now, if he had not been caught,
will you
just listen to me for a second here?
Sir.
Just 5 seconds.
Yep.
If he had not been caught, as these guys have not been caught, do you have a guarantee here? Okay, so you're not even listening to me, Kenny. What you're trying to do is outfunny me, and that is an impossibility, my friend. There's few guys on the air that can be funnier than me. There's damn sure no caller can. The point I'm trying to make is, if Tim McVeigh had not been caught, as these Al-Qaeda or otherwise scumbag terrorists, whoever they are guys, have not been caught, because people said, well, they haven't taken credit. Why haven't they taken credit? I said, well, how do you know McVeigh would have taken credit? Hey, had he not been caught? Is that too tough for me, for people to get, or am I just talking to myself? McVeigh was caught. Caught within hours, by the way. And sweated down by the FBI, and they got the goods on him. So who's to say that he would have taken credit for this? And who's saying that the guys that are sending this anthrax are not taking credit for it? It's not that they're trying to take credit, but they're definitely in touch. One thing about a serial criminal, whether it's a serial murderer or a serial bomber or anyone who does these kinds of serial attacks, they can't stand not being in touch with the authorities and taunting them and screwing with them. And the fact, the proof's in the pudding, my friend, the guy that did this anthrax in New York and in Washington, or the in New York at least, the two letters, wrote letters and did this whole cornball rap. Maybe it was Al-Qaeda, maybe they signed it Allah because they think they're God. I don't know. But to say that Timothy McVeigh admitted to what he did and was proud of what he did, you're saying that after the fact that he was arrested, had he not been caught, as these individuals have not yet been caught, would he have taken credit? That's not a hard question to ask. It may be a tougher one to answer, but it's totally on target. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The other thing that I don't know if anybody has said or has pinpointed exactly when all of these letters came through the mail, these, you know, anthrax letters, but it seems to me, from what I've read, they've all been sort of within a 2 or 3 week period. I don't know that any new ones are being mailed. And U.S. News and World Report has joined the front lines of spreading panic and absolute fear through whoever reads their magazine with their headline, High Anxiety, Are Anthrax Scares Just the Beginning? So whatever you do, make it worse than it is, make it bigger than it is, and be sure that in the name of informing, you scare people. And the U.S. News and World Report used to be the magazine. Everybody said to me, oh, I love that. It's such sober commentary, and the letters are so insightful, and they're just, it's wonderful. It's just, they've joined the lines with People Magazine and Time and everybody else with a deadline to meet and a magazine to sell. And, you know, and you've got to jump off the page with as big a headline as you possibly can. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, the question's being asked, should we bomb during Ramadan? Or Ramadan? Or Ramadan. That's it. Ramadan. Should we bomb during Ramadan? Well, I say, oh, am I being disrespectful? I'm sorry. Hey, this is America. I take shots at Christianity, Judaism, and all. And you guys with Islam, you might as well get in line. You know, we've been taking a few shots here as of late against the Christians and the Jews and everybody else. It's time now the Muslims get in line for a couple of shots. Just a couple of little ram-a-lama ding-dong gags, you know. Should we bomb during Ramadan? Here's my honest appraisal of that. Are we trying to win a propaganda war here against the Taliban? To the Taliban, you notice, we've done everything. They've accused us of chemical weapons. We're bombing daycare centers. We're bombing children. We are targeting infants. We have cruise missiles that are dialed in on the elderly and wherever. And we want to do that. Why? Because we want to make sure that the Muslims hate us even more than they already do in that part of the world. So that all makes total sense. Now, never mind the fact that when we do screw up, we actually come out in public and say, hey, we screwed up. We dropped a bomb in a hospital. We're sorry. We might have hit a military hospital. We're sorry. We might have hit. Never mind that we come out and say that, because the propaganda war is you tell a big enough lie often enough, people start to believe it, as I explained a few weeks ago. So what's going on now is that the Taliban is now accusing us of everything. Chemical weapons, biological weapons, terrorism, killing, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Plus, they found a tire in the middle of the road. Look at this, we shot down a helicopter. It was a tire from like a Volkswagen or something. They found it. It doesn't matter, you know. They'll just tell every lie. So we have to counter with our information. Now, do you think we're going to really be doing ourselves a favor dropping bombs during a holy month? I'm not saying, I really don't know what to think about it, but I'm asking you a question. What do you think they're going to do with that? If we bomb during the holiest month of the year for the Muslim faith, what do you think the Taliban will do with that in their little information mill over there? They will pump that and hype that beyond all records. Look at, see, we told you these guys are bombing when we say they hate us. They hate you. Right when you're sitting down for prayers, they're dropping one on you. You say, well, we're going to lose a month in the military battle if we don't continue bombing. That's a good point, too. This is a tough, tough fight. One of the reasons is it's because it's difficult for a civilized man to fight against an uncivilized foe. This is a foe that knows nothing about civilization. Nothing. And nothing about morality. There are nothing but lies being told, and they have no compunction. They've put rifles into the hands of civilians, so if we do kill somebody with a rifle and they happen to be a civilian, then, well, see, you're killing civilians. He was carrying a gun, still a civilian. Well, how do I know he's a civilian? He wasn't wearing the blue armband of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Oh, okay. Well, next time, maybe put him in a blue armband or something. Well, he's a civilian. And, you know, I'm reading this Black Hawk Down, which is amazing. The American Rangers that were on the ground in Somalia, 100 of these guys who were staving off 1,000 Somalis with rifles, they were confronted right off the bat with something that they'd never seen before. As the Somalis ran toward them with rifles, there were women and children and the elderly running with them because they wanted to see the battle. So interspersed between all these guys with guns were civilians with no guns, and here are 100 Rangers saying, what are we supposed to do? This is what a moral, civilized man thinks about. This is what a civilized people think about. This is not what they think about in Afghanistan, and I don't know whether it's something that will come back to haunt us or not. I really honestly don't. I do know you start gunning down civilians, and you got a propaganda problem on your hand. You got a whole bunch of Pakistanis going nuts, and who needs that? 1-800, I mean, you never need that, but especially not now. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I mean, frankly, I'm just speaking for Phil Henry and nobody else. I look at pictures here of a mosque in Toledo where the men and the women are separated during prayer. Now, I don't know anything about Islam, and that's the facts. But just looking at that photograph, does that look like any faith that you'd want to be a part of? Does it look like any club that would have you as a member? Would you want to join it? Look at that. I mean, what's that up? What's up with that? I guess there's probably some very good reasons for this. There's some cleanliness thing. I don't know what it is. It just looks very foreign to me. Oh, so what are you doing now, Henry? Are you targeting people who are the Islamic faith? No, I'm just... All of this stuff comes into focus now. Let me just shut up before I really get into some trouble, before I really open my big mouth. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here is Leah on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment on what you were saying earlier about should we bomb during Ramadan or not.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you. I think it would be a propaganda nightmare, and that we must remember that it's the Taliban that we're trying to root out and not the Afghanistan people that we're trying to piss off, and that if we can gain their support, that would be the ideal situation, and we're not going to do that by bombing during their holy month.
Yeah, and it's not even the Taliban that's our focus. It's Al-Qaeda that's our
correct.
Focus. And I suppose bombing is a very, it's a very visible and public and television friendly thing that they can take and show, you know, as
yeah,
opposed
we're
doing to,
something.
Oh yeah, look what the infidel is doing, as opposed to continuing these special operations that we've got going on, continuing this sort of, I just believe that we should fight these guys the way they fight us. Put the fear of Christ into them. Put the fear of Jesus, make them sweat. And I think that after a while, dropping bombs, it's also the reverse. You drop bombs on them, they use that as propaganda to show how brutal we are. We also drop, the dropping of bombs also is used to show the American people, look, we're doing something. See? We're doing
but
something.
But we're not addressing the root of the problem. Yeah, you've got to yank the weed out by the root.
Right. You know, I've been hearing now for about 2 weeks the whole Taliban front line, are we bombing them? Why aren't we hitting the troops? And the information that we're getting about this war is far too much. Far too much.
Agreed.
Far too much to process. Nobody understands it. We got more military. I would think that half these guys that are in front of a telestrator on CNN or Fox, these military retired generals, maybe they'd have a little bit of patriotism. And when CNN calls them up and says, hey, General, can we get you over here and, you know, use that telestrator? No, go pound sand, man. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to help you, okay?
Yeah, who tells people what they're doing during a war? You know, isn't the point to sneak up on your enemy? I mean, why we don't need to know this information.
Used to be pretty easy back, like in World War II when we didn't have the instantaneous television delivery system. And you know, like 3 months later, you found out about it by carrier pigeon. But now everything's out front. And this just shows, I think, that there's too much of this stuff on the front page. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, Leah. Bye. I don't know what I'm saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense? The military aspect of this is, it's too neat. There's the reporting is too neat and clean. It is too reminiscent of the Gulf War. Whether they want to say that they're doing it or not, they are tallying, quote, our victories, end quote, by the number of strikes per day and the number of sorties per day and the number of and the tonnage of bombs. And this is reminiscent of the Vietnam era when they tallied up how well we were doing in Vietnam by counting the dead. They used to say 1 million Vietnamese killed, 500,000 killed. You know, 1 million a week we were killing, by the way, in Vietnam. Did you know that? We were killing 1 million a week. But let's see, 1 million a week, 52 million in a year, and we were there for 13 years. So that's somewhere. I think we killed like 1 billion Vietnamese. Great. We still lost. We put ourselves on the front page with big bombs and big planes and big choppers and big guys. We're big. And they're little Afghanis with rifles and rags. Who do you think they're going to identify with? Who do you think's going to win that propaganda war? We got to get it off the front page. Now, we put our guys in on the ground the way we have, doing whatever special operations they're doing, conducting whatever psych ops they're doing. Then maybe, you know, we have a fighting chance of keeping this thing out of the propaganda arena and just to make it just a good, clean fight, if there is such a thing with these guys. Here is James on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering, what are your thoughts on, in the last several years, when the military came out with the anthrax vaccinations and all of the heat that it caused, you think there was a viable threat then that our government knew that we were in store for something like this?
Viable threat? We knew that there was a viable threat when we went up against Iraq.
Yes, I know, but...
They were vaccinated as early as the Gulf War.
Okay, but I mean, over the past couple of years, through the court martials for the people that refused to take it and some of the health problems that were caused by those that received the vaccinations, it just seems that someone knew that this was
going to
happen.
Someone knew it was going to happen. In 1999, President Clinton said it is likely that we will be the subject of a terrorist, possibly biological terrorist attack. In 1999, publicly spoken. I don't know, what is this news to you?
Well, no, I'm just thinking, are these things forgotten by the government over time?
Forgotten by the government? No, what tack are you taking now? It's forgotten now? First they knew, and then they forgot.
Well, would you not have some type of fail-safe in place if you...
Fail-safe? What would that be? What fail-safe? I'm not sure I know what it is you're asking. First you said the government knew, now you're saying that they forgot to know.
Well, no, I mean, it's selective memory. I mean,
selective memory.
Okay, we knew about it in 99. If we knew about it in 99, would we not be able to take some type of precautions rather than being caught with our pants down as we seem to have and everyone's rushing to get Cipro? I mean, it just seems as though...
We felt that our intelligence was going to be the primary protector of us. We relied a lot on technology. We find now that we didn't rely enough on people. See, this is what I was saying at the beginning of the show. The textbook definition of panic is when we begin pointing fingers at each other and not at the culprit. Now, you're sitting there saying that the government should have known, but you're not quite sure when they should have known it or what they should have done, but they should have done something. They knew, but then they didn't know.
No, I'm not saying they were. I'm asking your thoughts on that.
I'm telling you that it was printed. It was in the press. That the government said, that the FBI said, that the President of the United States said the United States would be a likely battleground for future terrorist attacks, including biological attacks. Now, what is it that you don't know here? What am I not giving you?
Well, how much did they know?
How much did they know?
Before this happened.
Well, they went public with the fact that they felt that they would be...
Okay, but again, if they just felt
you are doing exactly what I said. You're doing exactly what I said.
Well,
people
no,
are doing.
I'm
you're
not
sitting there and
the
engaging,
finger.
And you know, you're engaging in, you're luxuriating in a completely futile speculation about how much the government knew, when it knew, and when it didn't know, and the answers to all of those questions aren't going to bring you any closer to solving the problem. They're just going to let you get more nervous.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to find out myself.
What is it that you're trying to understand? And where is it going to take you once you understand it?
Just to know if...
And then what will you do with that information?
Well, I don't know. What do you do with all of your information?
Well, I try to solve the problem at hand, not sit
right.
and speculate as to what we might have known, when we might have known it, and if we knew it, and if we didn't know it, why didn't we know it?
Yes,
and if we know it,
problem,
how much did we know?
You have to come to a realization in your mind and an understanding, and that's what I'm trying to do here, is get an understanding.
No, what I'm trying to figure out is how to combat the threat as it exists today. What you're doing is going back and wringing your hands. And wringing our hands right now is what's getting a lot of people into trouble. Did the government know? Did it not know? Did we know? The President of the United States publicly stated. Now, I don't know what more you need. Well, what were we doing about it? As I said, we had an intelligence apparatus in place that apparently wasn't enough. You mean we made a mistake? Yeah. Yeah, I think we made a mistake. How can we make a mistake? This is America. We never make mistakes. Oh, my God. Well, you know, we do. The test of a civilization and the test of a country is how well it overcomes, perhaps, its lapses in judgment, how well it returns to its moral core and its moral center and attacks the problem. If we blew it, if we made a mistake, then we correct that and move forward. We didn't have any intelligence. You have to deal with the problem right now. And when you deal with the problem right now, and you are able to defeat the enemy, then you can indulge in, at some future point, we can impanel Senate subcommittees until you want to crap yourself. We can impanel House committees on what the president knew, when he didn't know it, and how come he knew it. We can have 85 million investigations, because you know those guys in Washington, they love those. And we can sit there and put guys on a hot seat until the freaking cows come home. Right now is not the time to be doing that. Right now is the time to be focusing energy on solving the problem at hand. And I'm doing my small part as a big mouth on the radio to try to continue to refocus people on that. And as you continue, sit and point fingers, why didn't you know and he knew and didn't he know and how come they knew and I don't know. What you're doing is you are engaging in a textbook case of anxiety and panic thinking. We got an anthrax problem. Going to find out who did it. We got an Al-Qaeda problem. Going to find out where they are. We got a Bin Laden problem. Going to find out where he is. Going to solve the problem. Going to liquidate. Going to put the country back together. Going to rebuild the World Trade Center or whatever. Going to get the people well who are sick with anthrax. And then, when we've got the lid on this thing, then we can all go to Washington together. Hell, I'll pay your way, and we can sit there, and we can start screaming at senators and House guys and everybody, and we can start screaming and yelling, how come you guys didn't know what you knew when you knew, and why didn't you know it, even if you didn't know it? If the President of the United States, in the person of Bill Clinton and the FBI, said in 1999 the United States will be a likely battleground for terror, and that includes biological weapons, that's a pretty clear statement. That's a pretty damn clear, focused, concise statement. Well, why didn't we do anything about it? We were doing things about it within our capability and within our knowledge at the time. Well, it wasn't enough. Yeah, you got that one, Charlie. Hey, give the man a cigar. It wasn't enough. Well, how come we didn't even... You know what? We screw up. Our country screws up on occasion. Now, do you want to sit there and make that a reason to further distrust the government? Because that's the American pastime. The government sucks. They never do anything right. They're all a bunch of con artists. They're all a bunch of sycophants. They're all a bunch of leeches. They never do anything good for anybody. You want to know something? You got something better? I'd like to hear about it. Like these Islamic fundamentalists that are trying to bring us down. What do you think they want to replace this system with? Like any domestic terrorist, any militia group, any right-wing bunch of skinhead scumbags that want to get rid of America and replace it with what? You got something better? This is it. This is the last great hope of the world. This country. This is America. This is state-of-the-art government. It ain't good enough for you? Try living in freaking Kenya, man. Your mail shows up damp and late. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Bill Henry Show is back.
And we are going to be broadcasting our show live from New York City all next week as we take the show on the road to New York and show you what a beautiful, fun-loving, bright, bold, ass-kicking town it is. We'll be doing the show all week from Midtown at the Museum of Television and Radio. We're going to visit the restaurants, visit the sights, see the people, breathe the air, live the life that is New York, and we encourage you to do the same. And I particularly, as I said yesterday, encourage any other radio shows out there. You know the influence that you have, not just in entertaining people, but the influence that you can have in driving people's behavior in some small measure. And I would suggest anybody go to New York and do their show from New York very soon. Priceline.com is going to take us there. They are the official travel provider for our airline tickets, our hotel rooms, our rental cars. You can go to Priceline.com for all your travel needs today. All right, here's Brenda. Brenda, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
I've seen on CNN several times a pharmacist saw Muhammad Atta. And his little sidekick came into the pharmacy.
Oh, what? Now, where was this? A pharmacist who?
In South Florida.
Somebody you know?
The pharmacist recognized
him. Where did you hear this? On the news?
On the news, CNN.
Uh-huh.
I've seen it at least twice through this whole investigation. And they've said that the pharmacist recognized anthrax burn. And he immediately contacted the FBI. And he said he would never forget Atta, because he became enraged when he questioned how he got burned. And the other guy was asking apparently for something for his cough.
But he didn't care anything about his anthrax.
Huh?
Well, you know, there's photographs, pretty good photographs of Atta on television screen. You know, there are photographs of him taken by closed-circuit cameras.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard anybody say, looky there, there's an anthrax burn on him.
Well, I swear I heard this on CNN. I've you know, I watch it. I'm recovering from spine surgery. I watch it constantly. I have a girlfriend that works for one of the major airlines. And she was aware that he had some type of itch, and the pharmacist...
Jock itch?
Yeah, some type of... she goes, oh, so that's why he was always scratching.
Scratching his balls.
Oh, God.
You know.
Yeah, kiss
but that's, that's not anthrax, you know.
Go meet Allah.
Most guys you know who scratch their nuts do not have anthrax, like we'd like our listeners to know at this point.
No, but seriously, this... You know, most pharmacies have tapes.
Tape.
Of, you know, people that come in.
What do you mean tape?
And why can't
well,
we
no,
hear...
we've already got tape. We've got closed-circuit photographs of these guys at I don't know how many different locations, like at least three or four that I saw in Portland, Maine, in a number of different locales. And I have never heard anybody say, aha, look at that, it's an anthrax burn or a canker or whatever they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, you maybe see? Someone else will call in that's heard this
to,
report. From
to
the
verify
pharmacy.
This baloney? Yeah. I mean, verify this report? Okay. All right, Brenda.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Goodbye. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Erica on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Hi, Erica.
Yes, I just had a point that I wanted to make about what you were talking about earlier about the bombing for the month, the holy month.
Yeah.
What do you think that the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda are going to be doing for that month that we're not bombing them?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll be shoring up their defenses and shipping in more bombs. You know, one of the things, now keep this in mind, okay? Let's say we stop bombing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've got our Rangers on the ground. We also have our aircraft, which can track movement. Now, if we stop bombing, what do you suppose happens? You got it. Whole bunches of people start moving around, scurrying around, getting things and putting them places. And guess what happens when they do that? We see them. And when we see them, we can go after them. Now, I'm not saying that we necessarily even have to drop bombs on them. A very nicely placed Stinger missile right in the middle of a convoy that's shipping some weaponry, perhaps. I don't know what they got. They got all kinds of stuff up their sleeve. If we stop bombing for Ramadan, it doesn't mean that we stop looking. And if there's no bombs dropping, it means that people are going to start moving. And when people start moving, they start giving away their position and their location. And when they do that, that's when our guys have really got them nailed. So think about that one.
Yeah, so you're looking at it as another opportunity for...
Murder, yeah.
Strategy.
It's another opportunity for us to kill Ramadan. No, I'm kidding. It's it can be used to our strategic advantage. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay?
That sounds good.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. There's a lady. She's in Hartford. And we're going to be in New York. Is that anywhere near? Yeah, I'm just kidding. Of course it is. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. What about that, though? If they're moving around because there's no bombs dropping, then our Rangers see this and they go, all right, coordinate 6-3, 6-3, go ahead and drop one up their ass. Thank you. Have a nice day.